All right then, back to the book reviews for this month anyway. All right, so I'm going to be doing, let me just actually pull it up on the screen, shall we? Okay, Consorting with Spirits, Jason Miller. And this is, I don't really need to say much about Jason Miller. The name says it all. Jason Miller, go read the book. There. Finished with the review. Thank you very much. Jason Miller is excellent. He really is. I think he does view a lot of the things in a similar perspective and ideology that I do. So I don't think there's much disagreement that I can actually find with his works. In this specific book, he goes into a lot of different details. He does actually give an idea of how to work with spirits from that perspective of the Solomonic grimoires and ceremonial approach of actually binding the spirits. But he does state that he disagrees with it. It's not something that he actually does himself. But for the sake of the book, for completeness, he does go into those methods and he discusses them and gives an outline and rituals that you can actually use if that's your approach. And he's got some very good reasons for that. Personally, if I was writing the book, I would have left all that out because I just think I find it disrespectful to the spirits, and I personally wouldn't want anybody doing that to the spirits that I love so much. So I would leave it out, but I understand why he left it in. I'm just going to go through some of the bookmarks that I noted as I was reading, just to review why I went through those bookmarks. Let's just check. I did a highlight here, but I didn't make a note. You see, it's the relationship that really matters, not whether the spirit is in the correct column for the planet or whether this description in the book fits your needs. Those things matter for choosing spirits to make initial contact with, but that's just the starting point. Similar to relationships between people, something grows between you and a spirit you interact with regularly. Yeah, it does also take this approach of actually building a relationship, a proper relationship with the spirits. He keeps reinforcing that throughout the book, which I find excellent. It's brilliant. Okay, the next one, next bookmark or note that I made was this one. Why did I make that note? Let's just check. Why can't I see the note? Hang on a sec. All right, so the note I did make was a great discourse about the spirit model examined from the position of them being parts of the brain or parts of the psyche. Yeah, parts of the brain, which Crowley actually mentions in Goetia, Ars Goetia, or psyche, which is Jung's aspects, through to them being apart from the body and being independent spirits. So yeah, he does discuss that through the chapters here, going into the actual mega model, which is always interesting, always good to know, always good to read. Okay, let's go to the next one. Highlight, but I did not make notes. Why have I got all these notes and highlights? Here is what I suggest: spirits are organized consciousness. This actually becomes an interesting discussion about what a spirit actually is. He says here, let's not kid ourselves, we can accept the spirits are real and even that they are independent, but we must also acknowledge that they exist in a way that is more subtle and fluid than a human or a horse. Fluid or not, we need some kind of operating definition if we are going to work with them. Here's what I suggest: spirits are organized consciousness. And then he goes into the Merriam-Webster definition of consciousness itself. So, trying to examine what an actual spirit is, whether it's an energy, whether it's an independent spirit, whether it's part of our own psyche, all of these aspects which come in, and there've been debates for many, many, many centuries. And it's going to be a debate, ongoing debate forever. But it's worth debating and trying to figure out, also creating your own worldview and how you view these things and how you view the spirit. So another reason why this is a great, excellent book is because it does examine all of these concepts from different perspectives. It's not a, as Jason Miller's books don't do, it's not a sort of this is what you should believe type of thing. It's an open-ended discussion, which is a great, he's a great teacher. So anyway, moving along, let's just see where I was. Okay, highlight. Here is that was that part, and the note over here. Good discussion about the complexity of spirits, different personalities, etc. Embrace complete. Yeah, okay. Goes into that. Also note that Miller does work a lot with Saint Cyprian. It is one of his main spirits. You are going to get apart from and also Hecate. You are going to get a lot of, I'm not going to say, I don't really want to say Christian or Catholic influence. Saint Cyprian was a saint, but was also a spirit which was very much involved with witchcraft itself. But there is, there is some Christian influence that does come in with the rituals he actually presents in this. So if that makes you feel uncomfortable, you can skip past that. As I said, he's presented so many different things within this. He takes a Hecatean approach to invocation. He takes a Solomonic approach to invocation, and then he also includes Saint Cyprian in some of the invocations and workings with these spirits and formal rituals that you can do. So this really is. It's just one of those books that it doesn't matter what tradition you follow, what worldview you may encompass yourself, you're gonna find something in this book which speaks to you, which is excellent. All right. Why did I highlight this? Let's just check. It's always fun going back to these highlights to try and figure out why I actually highlighted them. It's a bit different to doing the review as a paperback book, actually. I sometimes see people bragging about 2 or 3 hour ceremonies of evocation that pull a spirit into visible appearance in order to accomplish something that most people could easily manifest with a bit of folk magic or just some non-magical elbow grease. The power of resonance should not be underrated. Sound like I was, I'm saying that. I'm always talking about resonance and resonating at the same vibrational frequency as a spirit or as some kind of energy. So this spoke to me, obviously. But yeah, I totally agree with this idea that some people, he actually mentioned somewhere else in the book that he's actually encountered people who will do an invocation or an evocation in the Solomonic manner. To the point where they actually have an appearance of the spirit in the mirror, in the dark mirror, and but they'll keep going, they'll keep doing it to try and strengthen that because they feel like unless this spirit is visibly appeared, almost physically manifest, then it's not worth doing the magic, and it they just keep going on and on and on and on, just it gets to the point where it's actually ridiculous. So, but also coming back to this idea of just a simple bit of folk magic compared to a 2 or 3 hour ceremony can accomplish exactly the same thing. But it's different approaches, Some people have like that ceremonial approach, some people like the simple folklore, and that's what it really boils down to. Let's just see what was next. A great calling to the quarters for demonolaters. Oh yes, this was good. This, if you do go into the Goetia, you're going to encounter these four spirits, Oriens, Paimon, Egin, and Amaimon, as being the elemental kings of the quarters. And the invocations, the wording here is great. If you want to use this for your own quarter opening or your own circle opening, circle casting, lovely. I love it. It's great. Goes into some Latin if you like your Latin. Right, so that great for demonolators as well. We have a lot of demonolators on this channel, so I thought I'd just point that out. Okay, now I did state here I would disagree with this because I don't view Vanishing Rites this way. Also, a little confused because in his other book he guides you to do this every day. All right, the reason for that is he says here there are people who think that they should banish all spirits and unseen forces away from them on a daily basis so that they essentially live in a bubble, allowing contact only with those spirits who they invite deliberately. Yes, first of all, my own view of doing banishing rites is to elevate your frequency, and therefore all of the negative entities, the astral parasites and stuff, cannot attach to you because you are at a different frequency. That's what the banishing rite is for, and that's what you're doing. You're not pushing things away necessarily. You are bringing yourself into an elevated vibrational state so that all of the other things fall away. They get banished because they cannot remain in your space. And those are the things you don't want around you, the parasites, the negative energies and things like that. So that's my view of banishing rites. Not everybody's view, obviously, but that's my view. But what confuses me here is that if you go and read his book, Protection and Reversal Magic, there are three practices that he talks about that you should be doing daily, and that's offerings, banishing, and meditation, which is what I do and what I teach. And that's in there, doing it daily, banishing. So I'm not really sure what this is pointing to. It does seem like a bit of a contradiction, unless I completely misunderstood what he was trying to say in Protection and Reversal Magic. I don't know, maybe I should go back and read that again. I've read it twice already, so I'm not sure. If I did misunderstand it was a big misunderstanding, but just wanted to point that out, just in case anybody else is a bit confused with that. That's the only, really the only criticism I have about this book. But let me just carry on to see what else I actually. Why did I highlight something over here? If you're a person who needs to know that they have leverage on people before they strike a bargain, then chances are you will not feel safe or comfortable with spirits until they are compelled, and you are certain that you are the one in charge. You know what? That is okay. Know thyself is the central rule. If you are more like me and would prefer relationships based on friendly beginnings, then you will rely more on friendly conjurations than the compelling methods that demand appearances in a particular way. If a particular spirit doesn't want to appear or doesn't want to help, just pack it in. There are plenty of other spirits who will. This was actually a discussion regarding the approach to the spirits. So we have the approach of creating the relationships, which is very much the demonolaters approach, the approach that I like, that I talk about on this channel, and the approach that I teach people. Then there's the approach of striking a bargain. It's that ceremonial magic, the Solomonic attitude of you call the spirit and you strike a bargain. The spirit will do this for you, you will do that for you, and that's the end of the relationship. There's no actual relationship. It's more like dealing with your plumber or your electrician or something like that. You don't become friends with them, you don't build a relationship. They come and fix your thing and you pay them to do that. That's really what it is. And that can rely largely on your own personal relationship and how you actually interact with and deal with people on a daily basis. So how you do interact with people on a daily basis may determine how the approach you actually should be taking within either invocation or spirit communication, whether you're going to build relationships with people, get to know them, get to understand them, And those relationships that don't work, they don't work. Just move on from them, and there's plenty of other people out there who do want to meet you and get to know you. Or otherwise, if every interaction you have, whether it's friends or whether it's colleagues or whatever, you do have that idea of there's a bargain that needs to be struck. You get something for being with it, being in that, in a relationship with that person, and they get something. Then that's a different kind of relationship, and it will affect the magic you actually do. So I thought that was a great mention, something I never actually thought about myself. So I thought I'd point that out. Let's see, did I just do this one? No, I did not. What's this? What about the devil? Okay, it talks about the devil, in terms of the Christian approach and Lucifer and everything else. Highlighted here, many demonolaters, practitioners who worship demons religiously, have a taboo against forceful evocations, feeling that they should work exclusively through petition, offering, and prayer, and that any attempts to compel demons go against their spiritual views that are based on consent of spirits. I respect that and sympathize with. Oh, sorry. I respect that and sympathize with the view. That said, if we are talking about the conjuration of demons, beings that tradition places under the rulership of the hierarchy of hell, then compelling them by infernal powers is going to be a lot different than doing it by the power of Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh, Adonai, and the Trinity. Rather than a greater power who is opposed to you, the situation is like compelling a lower employee by contacting their manager. We just need to flip it to the infernal side of the coin. If you believe in such a coin to begin with, that's an important point. It is still compelling through force, though, and the basic procedure is similar. So, as I mentioned, Jason Miller does work with often with a Christian worldview, works with Saint Cyprian a lot, and this is showing here, it's evident, but also has a respect for demonolaters who don't take that approach. Jason is very open to many, many, many aspects, many, many worldviews. And I think as you're reading it, you need to be aware of that and also be open to those worldviews as well to understand the perspective that Jason is presenting. But yeah, I mean, my own personal view, I don't believe in this hierarchy of hell or the association of demons with being evil spirits, which is the Christian ideology. I don't. I don't believe in the infernal powers, and all of those things. They don't exist in my own worldview because I'm not a Christian in any way, shape, or form. So there is no hell, there is no infernal powers for me. But as I said, he comes from a lot of different perspectives, a lot of different points of view, and includes them, which is brilliant. Love it. Next one, depending on whether you follow a Christian worldview. Oh, okay, here, I just made a note. Depending on whether you follow a Christian worldview or not, that will determine if things like hell and the infernal even exist for you. Okay, so that's what we spoke about now. Love this example. It's this one here. Let's see what it was. Imagine the following scenario of us meeting at a conference. Oh, yeah, this is how. This is the other thing that I like about the book. Let me just actually go to the beginning of this chapter. He states that he's got a question and answers chapter at the end, and he states that within his courses, what he does, he likes to ask his students questions, and he gets the questions and he answers them in the course. Being a book, bit different. So what he did, he actually reached out to about 1,000 students and asked what questions they would ask about interacting with spirits. And so it goes through this whole Q&A. And I love this example. This was about interacting with spirits. How do you know you have invoked or evoked a particular spirit? Are there questions you ask them about their identity? And he says, don't get me wrong. I know that there are procedures for throwing names and threats at a spirit to make sure it tells the truth. but honestly, it's obnoxious. If you have actually asked the spirit its name and you've gotten a reply, gotten a response, move on. Okay, don't keep on asking because it's annoying. And the conversation goes, "Hi, are you Jason Miller?" "Yes, I am. Nice to meet you." "Are you really? How do I know? You called me and I answered and I'm telling you I am." "Well, just to be sure, I'm going to cage you in this triangular cage and demand that you tell me the truth. I am telling you the truth and I'm going to kick your ass when I get out of this cage. By the powers of Arceus the Creator, I demand that you tell me your true name." "Jason Miller." "Okay, now that's settled. Would you kindly do some magic to help me get a girlfriend?" That's actually a very typical example of what actually happens. You know, you call this spirit, you demand, it tells you its name. It tells you its name, you don't believe it, therefore you trap it in this triangle. You know, this is the Solomonic approach, the trapping and the binding and the threatening. And then once you are sure, then you ask it something ridiculously stupid. Anyway, so yeah, I thought that was good. I like that. There's a good ending to the video. Hang on. Let's just get that back there. Alright, so that's all my highlights and notes. Brilliant book. Let me just go back to the cover. Alright, so yeah, as I said at the beginning, you know, it's Jason Miller. Not much really needs to be said other than it's Jason Miller. His books are brilliant. His writings, his approach, his laying out of the information within his books is excellent. You can't go wrong with Jason Miller's book at all. I haven't read all of his books, but I've read the majority of them, and no problem, no complaints, hardly any criticisms at all. I'll just add that one, which it was actually a bit confusing about the banishing, you know, doing the daily banishing rites, because, as I said, he mentions that as being part of the daily practice in Protection Universal Magic, so a bit confused about that. Maybe I'll reach out to him at some stage and get confirmation about that. Alright, so, yeah, that's it. Great book. Go and buy it. You can, I'll leave the link up the top here, or you can go into the description and find it in there. To the book on Amazon, you can go purchase it, and as always, I thank you if you do, because it is an affiliate link. I get a small commission off it, and I'm using those funds to try and buy other books that I can then review on this channel and talk about the authors and things like that. All right, and that's it. I'll see you next time. Cheers for now. Bye-bye.